This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, a newly hair-clipped Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our steamy studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jump on one of those and check out Calvin's new haircut. Looks very nice. Not to embarrass you overly, Calvin.
Everyone look at Calvin.
Yes, we have a jam-packed show for you today. Emily Cephos is a former assembly candidate in the Fox Valley and a county party leader in that area. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across her on Twitter. She had a great thread about the ground game for Democrats in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And she has some ideas about how they should maybe change things, alter things a little bit going forward.
That's great.
It was a great thread. She has lots of great insights. So Emily is going to be joining us at 10:33, right after the 10:30 news. Next hour, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Those feisty winds.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
what are we
at cold.
Right now?
It's really cold, except for in this room.
No, it's south of hell in August in this room. Seriously. My goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's toasty. Every other Thursday, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us to talk all things sports balls at 11:33. And, of course, we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:51. Today, it's the olfactory edition.
Ooh.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off, though, with an article that I found on Wisconsin Public Radio by Trevor Hook. And the headline reads, "Online sports betting is on the rise nationwide. Some Wisconsin therapists and advocates are worried American adults, check this out, are expected to bet $35 billion this football season."
Just the football season.
Just football, 35 with a B.
Yeah.
A counseling hotline in Wisconsin says it's getting more calls reporting problem gambling. And apparently this is also very popular, obviously, among men, but among young men.
Yes.
It's jumped from 18 to 24 years old. 40% of bettors are under the age of 35. But again, people who watch these things, the head of the National Council on Problem Gambling said that they're particularly worried, again, about the growth among younger bettors ranging from 18 to 24 years old. So, Calvin, you're our resident young person, and that's kind of closest to you in age. Are a lot of your friends doing online betting?
Do you do online betting?
I play a little.
Yeah.
So last season, I play fantasy football, which is not really gambling. It's just you draft a team, you play with your buddies in a league. And then, so the app that we use for one of those ran a promotion where if you put $100 into their betting service, they would match it. So you could have $200 to play with.
I
can see that as a hook.
So I said, you know what? Make the games a little more exciting to watch.
Sure.
I'll do that. And I ended up winning like $2,000 with that $200. So I've pulled like most of that out and have just been playing around with the excess since then. But yeah, I can definitely see how it can become a problem.
Do you feel like in the time that you were doing it, there's always a rush of winning.
Oh, absolutely.
There's always a rush when you win.
It's that big endorphin release.
But did you find yourself were you ever distracted from other things to check your phone, to see if you've won or gotten the points to win the money? Did you ever have that feeling, Calvin?
See, I think that's kind of what made it more manageable for me.
Yeah.
I only ever did it on Sundays when I was watching football.
Gotcha.
So it was only ever just to make the games more
interesting
to watch. It was
because you're going to be watching it anyway.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. See, I mean, and that's the thing is, as it says in the article, problem gamblers make up a very small amount of gamblers on the whole. And I know my mom is a gambler. She gambles. Sometimes she wins $2.50 at Cousins Poker. And she goes to Vegas and she goes to Pottawatomi. And people can manage it. And they know exactly what they need to do and when they need to stop.
Yes, and that's the important factor.
But I'm wondering with these new services, these apps, the access. Because, you know, my mom just can't drive to Vegas every weekend.
Right.
So she knows when she's going, when she's not going. But this access to these apps, FanDuel, DraftKings, all these, and the new ones that are popping up all the time, just make it so easy. With, as Calvin said, you know, hey, you got $100? We'll give you $100.
Now you have $200.
Now you have $200, baby. It's frightening. I'm not a gambler at all. I don't gamble, period.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm too cheap.
It kind of, I don't want to say it frightens me, but like, I like my money. I don't have a lot of it, and I'd like it to remain mine. And people are like, oh, but you could, you know, double your money. I'm like, but I could also not.
And you could lose it all.
Or I could just keep what I have and save it.
Tony on the live stream says, young men, a notoriously wealthy and responsible group, can't see this going badly at all. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and like, exactly. If you have the, I mean, I'm not, I don't want to endorse behavior, but like, if you have a lot of money and you can lose a grand or two or more and it doesn't bother you, then whatever, that's your life. Do your thing, Jelly Bean. But the access to it, and there's something I brought up to you before we went on the air this morning. It's also a very murky place now to wade into with gambling, because when I was growing up,
it was illegal.
It was illegal. You go to Vegas, you go to Reno, Atlantic City, or a Native American casino. That's it.
Yep.
Now it's all murky and wishy-washy, and it's basically like, don't ask the questions. We won't tell you an answer.
Well, isn't that like in-house pools?
Yeah.
Those were all illegal too.
Yeah.
All the brackets for the Sweet 16, all that stuff was illegal.
I mean, if after we were done with the show, we went in the back to our bullpen and we had a 5-person poker game, we'd be breaking the law if we were involved in gambling. If we were gambling money. I mean, it makes you go, oh, come on. It's a $20 buy-in. Who cares? But it's still breaking the law. So for me, since FanDuel and DraftKings especially have become so, I mean, behemoths, networks are buying into these companies. And you hear them say things like, oh, NBC Sports is now has an ownership interest in FanDuel's. They're putting their money into these groups that are, am I wrong, doing things that are kind of illegal? But no one wants to
kill the golden goose.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure those groups have, you know, tens of millions of dollars in lobbying going on throughout the halls of power in every single state, especially the states, not just the government, the federal government, but the states. Because I looked up, can I use FanDuel in Wisconsin? And the answer was, there's no laws permitting it, but there's no laws
that you can't.
855-752-4842.
Do you do online gambling? I'm genuinely curious. Kevin, what do you want to say?
Yeah, so these apps do use a little bit of a loophole. In states where gambling isn't explicitly legal, you can't just bet on games. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to pick the underdog in this game. You have to do what's called player props, and I think the idea behind that is they can sell it or market it as a fantasy sport instead of gambling. So what you do is you have to like pick a player and say, okay, this player is going to score a touchdown, and then pick another player and say, okay, this player is going to have over 100 rushing yards, and you, the more things you combine together, the bigger the multiplier for how much payout you get.
And then what you do is, with all that information, you go into your app and then you take a certain amount of money and you give that to them. And if you win, you get more money back. That is gambling.
And well, I know it is gambling. It is, but it's gambling. About, it's semantics. I'm just talking, it's semantics.
It's semantics.
But it's such a flimsy semantics argument. I mean, you tell FanDuel and DraftKings they do gambling, they get upset. It's like when you tell Vince McMahon, oh, you got wrestlers. No, we do sports entertainment. We do not do wrestling. Like, what? You're gambling. I gave you my money. I lost. You took it away from me. That's gambling.
You can call it something else, but it's pretty much still gambling. There are warning signs obviously, if you have a problem with gambling. So they say, you know, if you always stick to $50, that's your limit. You know, when you start all of a sudden breaking that.
Yes.
And you keep, you know, well, let's go up once more and let's go up once more. It's called chasing losses.
Oh, God.
So you want to keep that, you want to get that money back, but then you just invest more and more and more and more. And certainly people who have gambling problems can end up in a lot of trouble. As far as with their home finances, with, I'm sorry, but I think of all the embezzlement cases over the last 20 years, and in many of those instances, they were gambling.
Yeah, I mean, you hear the story, the age old stories of, like, you know, where's my college fund, mom or dad? Oh, well, you know, it's gone.
I thought we paid off our mortgage. Well, I had to take out a second loan on the house, honey. Everything is just fine.
Yeah, that chasing losses actually makes me sick to my stomach, because it's the idea of someone saying, like, no, I just give you one more chance.
Yes.
Give me one more chance.
I'll win it back.
I'll win it all back. And they're like, you know, several thousands, if not more, in the hole.
Yeah. And like you said, too, my parents loved to gamble.
Yeah.
They would go to Vegas once a year, but they never talked about it.
Yeah.
They never talked about how much they won, how much they lost, but I know that there was a set amount.
Yes.
There was a set amount that they weren't going to go, that they certainly weren't going to go over.
No. I mean, my parents were the exact same way. And what's funny is that they were fervent poker players. They love playing poker. My mom's an amazing poker player. I love telling young men that she could beat them poker. They get so upset. But
ooh, I feel a tournament.
But neither my sister or I gamble at all. We don't, not even in their level of, like, we go to the casino once a month, or we have some friends over to play. No, there's no gambling in either one of our houses. Because for me, I just, no, thank you. There's no fun also in, like, sitting around playing poker. That's just not my thing.
I would agree with you.
That's just not my way of spending a couple hours with people.
I would agree with you. We're going to keep this going. Tim from Eau Claire, I see you on the line. We have a real short break, and we'll come back with you when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our steamy studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us for a little weather and wine. We've entered static season officially.
It's going to be iced wine.
Iced wine this morning. So we'll talk about what we can look forward to over the next couple of days with Brittany. Stick around for that. Before we went to the break, there's an article in today's WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, by Trevor Hook, talking about the explosion of internet gambling and gambling by phone and, you know, just jumping on. And this can be a problem, especially if you don't obviously have the money to do this. And it's very attractive, apparently, to young men. And that is a concern among some.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Tim from Eau Claire has been very patient. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I guess I'd have a question. Where is the right-wing evangelical Christian uproar about this? They're, you know, they want to protect decency and the family values and stuff. What about the members of Congress? Shouldn't they be opposed to all this stuff?
For some reason, Tim, and I could be wrong, but I have a feeling, I don't know, gambling lobbyists might have something to do with that.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But so, you know, they like to portray themselves as against the upholders of the family and stuff. But where are they on this? It takes a back seat to the money, doesn't it?
Well, currently they have a man who's up for a position in the Trump White House who is accused of being a drunk and a philanderer. I think that if they don't have a problem with that gentleman, and I'm talking about Pete Hegseth, actually, not
you
Donald Trump.
You have to clarify, I know.
But like, if they don't have a problem with him and they're fine with him, I have a feeling that gambling isn't even on the horizon of their concern. And much as we've seen, if there is a problem, if they just get right with Jesus, everything is good. We move on to the next problem.
Appreciate you checking in, Tim. Thank you so much for listening. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, do you do this? Are you a gambler?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. No judgment. I know a lot of people get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Not
sure.
My thing.
Yeah.
Just I tried it a couple times, and I would probably still go to casinos if they still had handles on slot machines. And it's no fun.
The only fun I have at a casino, the buffet. They're really good. As Joey from Friends said, that's where I win my money back.
I like the handle thing, and okay. I like the quarters. Now you get a slip of paper. It's like, woo.
That's it for
that's
you?
Yes.
That's the line of demarcation.
It's the whole tactile thing. I want to just push a button and watch the thing go. That
we'll fly to Reno or Laughlin or some like podunk outpost in Nevada. And
somewhere
get you
where they still have the one-armed bandits.
Exactly. Barkeep, keep this cup open and fresh.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you a gambler?
Hey, good morning. Yes, a little bit here and there. I dabble. Before they made the machines legal in the bars and stuff, I was in a bar up in Fond du Lac, and we were doing sign-in every Monday and stuff. And I just sat down, and a buddy of mine who was a cop walked in. He walked right up to me and said, Troy, you need to go out the back door.
Uh-oh.
And then they busted the place.
Whoa! Back in the old days, you'd rabble-rouser you.
You rouser of rabble.
Rouser of rabble.
Finally, some of my contacts worked out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they finally paid off, that bet finally paid off. That's funny, Troy. Thank you so much for that. Tom from LA is also on the line. Good morning, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, good morning, Jane. Yeah, I've actually made it a conscious decision. One, when I moved out to Los Angeles, I never wanted to put even Vicks up my nose because I didn't want to do coke.
Oh.
Second, because I was big at going to parties here. Also, when it came to gambling, I never just kind of disciplined myself not to do it because I know it's one of the things that's one of the hardest addictions to actually be able to, get over. So as an example, with fantasy football, when that started, which I think is honestly people just trying to be like thinking that they're owners of teams or something like that, which I don't. Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. But I have a loyalty to the Green Bay Packers, and that is my loyalty. And I find that fantasy football and betting and all that stuff kind of takes you away from the loyalty of the one team. You're now loyal to different players from different teams, which I think kind of ruins the idea of the loyalty to the one team. So I think that, and I also think that all the commercials, you got Jamie Foxx on, you got all these different people now, all these ex-athletes that are pushing. When you had someone like Pete Rose that got actually kicked out of the sport.
For gambling,
you know,
yes.
There's something wrong with that. And I don't understand, then of course you have commercials saying, oh, this is for people that are gamblers and anonymous. And it's like, you know what, why are we doing this to ourselves? I mean, we're all going to have to pay for this person once they either declare bankruptcy or whatever their problems are going to be. That, yeah, money and politics, of course, is probably at the heart of this, like everything else.
It's always about the dollar, Tom. It always is, tragically. Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so very much. Tony, also in the live stream, says, my parents went to Vegas years ago and bet $10 just so they could say they did it. Otherwise, absolutely no interest. That's funny.
The last time I went to Vegas, we were about to get into a bus and go to like a show. And one of the guys we were with, I don't even know who he was. He was just a friend of a friend. He won $600 and he came running to us. He's like, I won $600. All of us scattered. All of us went to the ATMs. All of us took out money. All of us lost.
All right. We have news coming up. When we return, we're going to talk to Emily Cephos. Very excited to talk to her about Democrats' ground game going forward. By the way, Calvin Sherry from Horicon texting in. Good morning, Jane, Greg, and Calvin. Calvin, nice haircut.
Yeah.
News is next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we will wrap up the show today at 11:51, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Olfactory Edition. You're going to want to stick around for that. It might not be exactly what you think.
It's never, Jane, what you think.
It's never what you think.
It's always the opposite of what you think and or want.
I'm very excited to have our next guest join us. I stumbled on you on Twitter after the election. Emily Cephos is here. She's a former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer in the Fox Valley area. And Emily, you had this great thread about going forward and how Democrats can move forward after November 5th. And so where would you like to start? What do you think? Because you've knocked on a lot of doors.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I think that, you know, I put up something after I took a little bit of time to process what I did well, what I maybe reflected that I could have done better at myself, and also being as close as I am to the Democratic Party as a whole. Really, I understand how that whole ecosystem works during an electoral cycle. And I also see just this untapped potential that exists with neighbors that we've never talked to before, but also strategy that Dems, I think, can employ to further our cause so that we're not starting at square one every single cycle. We need to focus on the building. And that's really what that was all about and where I want to see the party going.
Well, and I think there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, about Ben Wickler and what Ben Wickler has done since he kind of took things over here in Wisconsin. And now he's obviously throwing his hat in nationally. But it does seem like we do a great ground game 3 months leading up to the election, and I'm not sure what's going on the rest of the time, right?
Yeah. And there's, the ground game is unmatched. And Ben has been incredible when it comes to fundraising and when it comes to, you know, deploying all of us across the state. But I think there are some things like during those electoral cycles that we can do a little bit better. I think that we count out too many people when it comes to, you know, going a little bit further into the red, talking to our neighbors about issues and doing it in a way that resonates with them because it's local and it's right outside their front door. So I think that we need to acknowledge where we are as a nation when it comes to our politics, in that we are being told to mistrust one another. And so in order to start building, we need to see the value and the worth in hitting every single door we can within a, you know, within a certain
certain parameters. Yeah. Sure, sure.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to go and like, you know, but I've walked up to doors that had big Trump signs on it. And I said, it looks like you've got your mind made up at the top, but I'm here to talk about your most local representation. So you can still salvage tickets in those situations. And that's what I'm talking about, that building where it's like, if I show up and I do a good job for you, and I hope to, then next time you'll extend that upward. And we have to be thinking like long-term about what we can do again to make sure we're not starting at the same starting point every electoral cycle. And then in the interim, like, I think that a priority needs to be given to our county parties. We're the people that are, you know, we live, work, and play here.
Yep.
And so we know our communities well. We know what issues people are talking about. We know who's struggling and who's not. We're going to the supper clubs and churches and Friday night football games. Like, help us to empower our local people to have that drumbeat continue throughout the whole cycle. And so we can, again, be building that trust and relationship, and we'll see results in subsequent elections.
I know that one of the things that we would always talk about individuals who are knocking on the doors, especially in this past election, is, you know, who are you talking to? What are you talking about? What are the things that unite us rather than divide us? And one thing that they always said was exactly what you said, Emily, is that they would either, you know, come across people or go to doors of individuals who clearly look like they were not supporting them. And they would find out like, oh, well, the sign is my husband or my wife. I'm voting this way, or I don't really care. Or they just think, well, I'm going to vote for this person, therefore I'm obviously not going to vote for this person because they're not the party I like or know. And then they have a conversation and you find out that not only are they enlightened by the discussion, but also they're not used to, especially in Wisconsin and gerrymandered maps, they're not used to politicians having to really work hard to keep those seats.
Yeah.
So this outpouring of attention, it shows up and people, like, you see it on their face and be like, oh, I've never had anyone talk to me before. It's okay. Here's what's going on in my life, you know, and that leaves a lasting mark.
Right. Right. And I think, like, I've been on doors, like, this district is in the Fox Valley area, but it went out to like New London, like very far out of town. And I went to doors where they're like, I have, you know, like never had anyone knock on my door before. And so whether or not they were big fans of the Democratic Party, and I always led with like myself, cause I'm right there. Right. Like, to say to a person, like, what are you concerned about? And they might be concerned about their public schools, like knowing that they've got a leaky roof in Freedom, for example, and to say, well, like, our schools have been underfunded, right? So that's something that at the state level we can change. And then also, since you just told me that public schools are really important to you, they want to do away with the Department of Ed, right? And so you bring them in at the ground level, and then you know, bring them up in an elevator, I always say, like, where it's like we enter here where it's right outside your door, because those are things that we mostly agree upon. And then it's twisted somewhere along the way. But then you extend that upward. And maybe, like, there were people that reached out to me after the fifth that were like Republicans and independents and libertarians. And they were like, just so you know, I held up my end of the bargain. Like, I split that ticket for you. And those are like where I'm like, we build on that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want next time then to go back to Joe or Tom or whoever it is and say, hey, we talked to you last time, same goals. Like, I want you to put that trust in me again, and we'll continue to make inroads.
Well, and I do think that certainly this election cycle where we saw the Democrats take some seats that had been held for a long time by Republicans. Now that we have fairer maps, they may have gone ahead, as you said, Emily, and voted for Trump at the top of the ticket. But obviously those conversations made a difference in some areas of Wisconsin. So you had mentioned that you would like to see the county parties be given a little more, is it autonomy or is it just funding, or what steps would you like to see to happen?
I think, like, the autonomy piece is huge. I think extending a little bit of trust to us at the grassroots level to say, we know our community's best, here's what everybody's talking about. And then tailoring a message that is very local, very right outside their door. Again, like, I think that people don't, the electorate typically isn't super involved when it comes to understanding policy.
Right.
And so you can't go there and debate, you know, what tariffs will actually do to your grocery prices necessarily, but you can like start at the local level, be like, yeah, I get it. It's really hard to make ends meet, and then tailor that message so that it does, it connects it eventually for them, but it starts at a local level. Because I always think about like to go to doors and like, sometimes, you know, like you're told, and of course, like there are people, you know, we all kind of ad lib at certain points, but if we're told to lead with the top of the ticket as a Democrat at a person's door who doesn't typically align with the Democratic Party, you are, the door is shut in your face right away.
Absolutely.
But if you start at the bottom and you're like, let's talk about the things that we can find in common here, then they're like, oh, I did not see myself in that. But you respectfully having a conversation to like widen that lens a little bit, like allowed me a moment to reconsider maybe what I was doing. And again, it's like, it's building for the long term. And I think like what I want to see is that we don't discount the slow and steady, smaller successes that we need to see if we want to build back. Like I think that the goal for the party should obviously be like, we got a 20-year plan. And in 20 years, this is not a battleground state. This is solidly blue.
Yeah.
How, and then work back. How are we going to organize to make that reality for us? And that's like what, at least at the county party level, kind of the frustration with like the whole X threat or whatever, is that I don't hear that happening. And I'm like, I'm one of your most dedicated volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, but if we on the ground are not the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, then who is, you know, like if we don't have a say and we're not collaborative about it, then who is?
I think so. That's another thing, Emily, you brought up. I think it's a good point to make too, is that we, you know, whether if you are a liberal or a Democrat or are on the left, you, there's, it's easy to think like, oh, if they have a Trump sign, they're going to shut the door in my face. Democrats have a problem with not agreeing with each other quietly.
That never happens.
And this whole notion now of like, you know, it's the day after the election, Kamala has lost. We need to burn everything to the ground. Yeah. I think that's right. Counterproductive as well. But I think important right here is the discussion about the counties. And I think I used to be a member of a county Democratic Party here in Racine. And I think my biggest gripe, and if they're listening, sorry, but my biggest gripe is the recruitment of younger people into the party with a vision that can take us into the future. Because when you watched the DNC, you saw young people in control making that a very fun, energetic, alive event. And you need to have, as you said too, a goal to say like, all right, let's say you want to run someone against Robin Voss. You can't just say, all right, in 2 years, we're going to run you. We're going to say, Emily, we're going to run you in 6 years, but this is what we're going to do over 6 years. And we're going to make you known. It can't just be like, oh, it's 6 months into the election. Emily, do you want to run?
You busy?
We need someone.
Yeah, just drop you in there. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You need to have that plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's such a lack of vision sometimes in some of those parties. And I understand, I get why, but it's also then hard to knock on the doors of power within those parties and say, I have an idea, because some people really love their power. And you just have to wait it out.
Well, and that's unfortunate, right? Because we all want to demonize the other side, yeah, right? But I think there are some people who have been in power in a long time in the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, and who could, it's time to pass the torch. It's time to bring in some younger blood. It's time, as you said, Emily, to start planning for 20 years down the road when Chuck Schumer and those guys are going to be gone.
And you think about the way that the Republicans have done it too. Like, we're living through the culmination of decades of planning. Like,
yes.
This is not something that is just like, oh, it just happened. No, this is something that they had that vision and we were behind on it. To my knowledge, like, I don't feel connected to it. So what we're doing like locally, because the wheels of big machines turn slowly, is that locally we're like, what can we do? But it is like, to, you know, Greg, your point that, like, I have organizing background. So I'm like, okay, like if this doesn't exist in the system level, like I will help to build it, and it might not be perfect, but we're going to work toward it.
Yeah.
But like, there are people that are good people that are like, well, I'm just used to like the door knocking, and I'm used to the electoral like 3 months before stuff, and they need to be like trained up. And that's why I just want to see like the party as a whole acknowledging that, or like actual organizing and building in the in-between is what we need to be doing right now. You know, so it brings more people in and it makes those inroads so somebody can run and beat Robin Voss eventually someday.
I know. Wishful.
A boy can dream.
If you're just joining us, Emily Sefos is our guest. She's a former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer in the Fox Valley. I I want to back up just a little bit, Emily, to something that you said, and I don't know this to be true, but I can see this happening, where the National Democratic Party comes to the little local county parties and says, this is the messaging we want you to take out to the doors. That's a huge mistake. As you said, mm-hmm. it's, you know what's going on the ground with your neighbors at your schools and your churches and the bars and whatever, and you can't be expected to all go out with the same messaging. It's not going to work.
No, we're not like little drones, and it's just like the same messaging to the same people over and over, which is like another, you know, reflection of mine where I'm like, why are we discrediting and discounting these, you know, these rural areas or these more suburban areas and going to the same doors like three or four times with like the same message again and again and again? Are we really, is that really the most effective use of our people?
I think it's interesting because we have, you know, we have people, especially farmers on here, talking about how all policy affects them, but specifically how the upcoming Trump policies will affect them as they did in 2016. But you have one side that cannot say boo about their leadership, and you have another side that's like, well, maybe we should bring in a little more nuanced discussion about our differences, when really, when it comes down to it, the people at the bar, one guy may have voted for Kamala, one woman may have voted for Trump, but they have existing qualities that are alike, and they can talk it out.
Yep.
And we don't give them enough credit to do so.
Yeah, exactly. And if we don't show up, then there is only, you know, like, then it is as it's always been.
Right.
And so why?
Right. Well, then you're just ceding the territory, as I think you said in your thread on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you can't discount them. So
no, we're going to continue our conversation with Emily Cephos. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We will be back in just a moment. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We have news coming up at 11 o'clock. After that, we're going to talk about a number of TV stations in Western Wisconsin just fired a whole bunch of their on-air and news departments. In truly one of the most classless acts I have seen in broadcasting, and I've been in this business a long time and seen a lot of classless things.
I was going to make this joke.
This is a whole new low, I would say.
Shaking your fist at
Shaking
the wind.
Shaking my fist at the wind, yes. That's after 11 o'clock. Emily Cephos is here right now, former assembly candidate and a county party volunteer, and kind of did a nice little post-mortem after the election on November 5th. And you knocked on many, many doors, Emily, over the last few months. I'm sure you put on quite a few miles. What about the problem of disinformation? Because we all, obviously, we get our news from many, many different sources.
Mm-hmm. And as local news agencies and stations are closing and being shuttered, it's only going to get worse.
Absolutely.
It is such a huge problem. That's like one of my, you know, besides giving everybody a chance to like to find that common ground with me in a moment and not counting anybody out, disinformation is so huge because you're taking, you know, people are getting their news. Legacy media does not exist in the way that it used to exist. And people don't, they don't ingest their information via that anymore.
Right.
It's now on TikTok. And
right.
It's on
Facebook.
All of these social media. Exactly. And people are voting on that. Like, if we talk about the electoral consequences of it, is that you're on a door and people are talking about a litter box in a local, you know, this is something that I heard multiple times in this one area. So we knew that rumor was pretty, like, it had baked in, that there were litter boxes in the local elementary school. And they're taking that and then they're discrediting public schools entirely. And then they're voting for the people that want to do away with the Department of Education, right? So, like, that's how they're connecting those dots. And there's a pipeline that exists now that, like, where they're paying those influencers to feed that information. And then at the end of it, when they feel like they've got a relationship because they've been following their content for a while, they're like, and by the way, vote for my guy. And that is so huge. So, like, my question, like, my reflection on that is, like, what can we do at a local level so that when we hear rumors about litter boxes or book bans are happening, we show up? Because again, if we don't put our voices and we don't put ourselves into that space, there is a vacuum that exists and there's nobody to counter it. And we have to be courageous enough to be like, this is wrong, this is false, that kind of stuff.
When you met people and you knocked on doors and they brought up this whole litter box things in schools, were you able to convince them that that is not true? Because it's my understanding this actually, the truth nugget of that is that there were litter boxes in schools in case there was a lockdown because of a gunman and kids had to relieve themselves. That to me is the nugget of truth in that, not that they're dressing up as cats and identifying as cats.
Right. Yes. And I think, like, there, what I did after I heard it, like, a couple of times, I called the school and I was like, hi, people in your neighborhood are saying that this is happening. Is, like, maybe make a public statement. And they didn't want to do that. So, like, just at every door I went to, and there weren't, it wasn't mentioned often. But if I found, like, someone that was in alignment with where I was on things, I was like, by the way, we know this rumor is happening locally. You need to start combating that, like, in conversation with your neighbors, because what else do you do? And then, like, to also, I spent some money in, like, digital advertising when I was running, and to micro target ads into that community to be like, hi, it's me. Just so you know, this is where this came from and it's not happening here. So that's something that I did and that I want to see locally and that our county party is going to plan on doing too.
Well, and that too is where, because you are on the ground and you are hearing these rumors and this disinformation going through your own community, you know best how to battle that instead of the national party coming in and saying, here's the message that we want you to take to the doors.
I think one of the biggest problems too with disinformation, and you brought up podcasts and influencers, is that they have been allowed a level of
expertise.
No. Not expertise.
Credibility?
Not credibility either, and I can't think of the word. Leeway. They've been given an amount of leeway where they can sit here and talk like we are right now, and they can, as a one-off, like, and of course, you know, they're putting litter boxes in the schools now because kids think they're cats. Ha ha ha. Let's move on. People hear all of that and think, well, my guy just said that, so it has to be true. Do you know that they're putting litter boxes in schools? They're putting litter, and like it turns into a joke to a serious thing. And then when people tried to bring that up to me, when you just asked Emily, how do you deal with that? It's so hard for me not just become immediately angry, because I'm thinking to myself, you truly believe that this is a thing? And if I say it's not true, you're gonna be like, well, that's what I heard.
Well, but again, and we've talked about this for a long time, Emily, it's combating my friend on Facebook's cousin's daughter's dog walker saw this, and I trust my friend on Facebook, so why wouldn't I believe that, you know, this is accurate? And it's trying to combat that because that's where they're getting their news.
Yeah. And I think, like, the reality, like, we can't control all of that, right? Like, there are so many different pieces to this puzzle. But what we can do is again, empower our own people that are right here. Like, we've got people, and I was like, you're going to monitor Nextdoor, and you're going to monitor Facebook and certain community groups. And when we hear these things happening, we have to respond to it in real time, because if we don't, you're way behind where you need to be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Emily Sefos, former assembly candidate, county party volunteer in the Fox Valley. It's been such a pleasure. We would love to have you back and continue this conversation.
Always. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. News is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bring me down. I said, the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.